Well, good afternoon. I'm glad to be back here again with you today.
各位弟兄姐妹，下午好！很高兴今天再次回到和大家一起。
When I was last here, I pointed out that one of the keys to understanding the Bible was to see that it was a story about God creating a people for Himself.
上次我在这里，我曾经指出，明白圣经的一个关键是要认识到，圣经是一个关于上帝为他自己创造子民的故事。
In my last sermon, which covered the creation of mankind, I pointed out that God made us humans in the image of God, with power to reason morally, to work, to be creative, and to be social. Adam and Eve were also to procreate, to multiply and fill the earth, and thus create a people to commune with the God who had created them.
在我上次的讲道中，讨论了人类的创造。我指出，神按照他自己的形象创造了我们，赋予人类有道德、理性的能力、工作的能力、创造力和社交能力。亚当和夏娃也被命令生养众多，遍满地面，从而创造出一个与创造他们的上帝交流的子民。
I also hinted that things did not turn out so well for God's plan to create a people for Himself. In fact, the first 11 chapters of the Bible, Genesis 1 to 11, are a prologue to the rest of the Bible story. And after this prologue tells the glorious aspects of God's creation, it then recounts how badly things went. So this afternoon, I want to focus on the end of the prologue that summarized how the story of God creating a people for Himself had a bad start.
我还暗示说，上帝为自己创造了一个子民的计划，并没有那么顺利。事实上，圣经的前十一章，也就是创世纪的第一章到十一章。 是圣经其余部分的序言，在序言讲述了上帝创造的辉煌方面之后，他又叙述了一些事情，进展得非常的糟糕。因此，今天下午，我想让我们关注这个序言的结尾，他总结了上帝为自己创造一个子民的故事，如何是开局不利的。
Turn with me then to Genesis 11 and the story of the Tower of Babel. So please stand for the reading of God's Word starting in Genesis 11 verse 1.
请与我一起翻到圣经创世纪的十一章，巴别塔的故事。请起立，我们来阅读神的话语，从创世纪的十一章的第一节开始。
Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. And as people moved eastward, they found a plain in Sinar and settled there.
那时，天下人的口音、言语都是一样。他们往东边迁移的时候，在示拿地遇见一片平原，就住在那里。They
said to each other, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the earth."
他们就拿砖当石头，用拿石漆当灰泥。他们说：“来吧，我们要建造一座城和一座塔，塔顶通天，为要传扬我们的名，免得我们分散在全地上。”But
the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other.
耶和华降临，要看看世人所见到的城和塔。耶和华说：“看哪，他们要成为一样的人民，都是一样的言语。如今既做起这事来，以后他们所要做的事就没有不成就的。我们下去，在那里变乱他们的口音，使他们的言语彼此不通。”
So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth.
因为耶和华在那里变乱天下人的言语，使众人分散在全地上，所以那城名叫巴别，就是变乱的意思。
So ends the reading of God's word. Please be seated.
上帝的话就读到这里，弟兄姊妹请坐。
Well, as I said a moment ago, Genesis 11, 1 to 11 form what scholars call the prologue to the rest of the Bible. And one of the reasons the scholars call it a prologue is the difference in storytelling style between chapters 1 and 11 of Genesis with the storytelling style in the rest of Genesis.
正如我刚才所说，创世纪的1到11章 被学者们称为圣经故事其余部分的序言。学者们之所以称其为序言，是因为创世纪的1章到11章的叙事风格与创世纪其余部分的叙事风格有着明显的不同。And
you all can see this difference in style for yourselves. In Genesis chapter 1 through 11, The narrator moves quickly through time, giving spare but essential details of major events. In the space of just 11 chapters, thousands and thousands of years have been covered.
你们可以亲眼目睹这种风格上的差异，在创世纪1章到11章中，叙述者快速的穿越时光。 对重大的事件进行了简略但必要细节的描述，在短短的11章，已经涵盖了数千年的时间。But
starting with Genesis chapter 12, time slows down. It takes 14 chapters just to cover the second half of Abraham's life. And that story is full of lots of small details, like having babies, finding a wife for a son, digging wells to water the livestock, lots of details about sheep and goats, relationships with neighbors, good and bad, and so on. You get the point.
但是从创世纪的12章开始，时间就变得缓慢下来。 光是亚伯拉罕后半生就花了14个章节，而这一故事又充满了许多小的细节，比如生孩子、为儿子找妻子、挖井给牲畜供水、关于绵羊和山羊许多细节的描述，与邻舍的关系有好有坏等等。你明白这一点？
So, what is the purpose of this prologue? Its purpose is to describe the problem we humans are in, and the reason for the rest of the Bible story. And the situation we humans are in, apart from God's intervention, is not very good.
那么，这篇序言的目的是什么呢？ 它的目的是要描述我们人类所处的问题 以及圣经其余故事的原因。如果没有上帝的干预，我们人类所处的境况并不好。
What the prologue recounts after the creation story is a sad story. The sad story starts with the fall of Adam and Eve when they give in to the temptation of the serpent to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God judges them for this disobedience and casts them out of the Garden of Eden, which contains the tree of life.
序言讲述的是创世之后一个悲伤的故事。这个悲伤的故事始于亚当和夏娃的堕落，他们在蛇的诱惑下吃了分别善恶树上的果子。上帝因为他们的悖逆而对他们进行了审判，并将他们赶出了有生命树的伊甸园。
The horrible aspects of the fall emerge very quickly, even though Adam and Eve do not die immediately. Actually, Adam and Eve start to do what God wanted them to do, procreate. But in the act of having children, the key problem emerges. The moral corruption in their nature, resulting from the fall, has been passed down to their children. And quickly, the prologue narrates the story of Cain killing his brother, Abel.
堕落的可怕面貌很快显现出来。尽管亚当、夏娃并没有立即死去，事实上，当亚当、夏娃开始做上帝，事实上亚当和夏娃开始做上帝希望他们做的事，就是繁衍后代。但是在生育的过程中，关键的问题显现出来了。因着堕落，他们本性中的道德败坏已经传递给了他们的孩子，而且很快序言就讲述了该隐杀害兄弟亚伯的故事。
And then things get worse. As humans procreate and multiply, their evil also multiplies. It becomes so bad that the Bible says the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the hearts was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord.
然后事情变得更糟，随着人类的繁衍生息，他们的邪恶也越来越多，情况变得如此的糟糕，以至于圣经在创世纪六章五到八节这样说：耶和华见人在地上的罪恶很大，终日所思想的尽都是恶，耶和华就后悔造人在地上，心中忧伤。耶和华说，我要将所造的人和走兽并昆虫以及空中的飞鸟都从地上灭除，因为我造他们后悔了，唯有挪亚在上帝眼前蒙恩。
And so the prologue tells about God's second great curse on humans, the great flood that destroys all humans, except for Noah and his family.
因此，序言讲述了上帝对人类的第二次大的咒诅，除了挪亚和他的家人，大洪水毁灭了所有人类。
Despite how bad humanity had become, after the flood, God restarted his project to create a people for himself with Noah. What God says to Noah after the flood sounds a lot like the creation mandate to multiply, be fruitful, and fill the earth. Here's what the Bible says. Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and your families. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so that they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it.
尽管人类已经变得如此糟糕，但在洪水之后，上帝还是与挪亚一起重新开始了为自己创造子民的计划。上帝在洪水之后对挪亚说的话，听起来就像创世时的命令，要多多滋生，遍满全地。就如在创世纪八章15-17说，神对挪亚说，你和你的妻子、儿子、儿妇都可以出方舟，在你那里凡有血肉的活物，就是飞鸟、牲畜和一切爬在地上的昆虫，都要带出来，叫它在地上多多滋生，大大兴旺。
And increase in number they did. Over a long period of time, the family of Noah became a great people.And that brings us to the story of the Tower of Babel.
他们的人数确实增加了。经过漫长的岁月，挪亚家族成为一个伟大的族群。这就给我们带来了巴别塔的故事。
In the story of the Tower of Babel, we see mankind using aspects of the divine nature with which God had created them. Their ability to work, to be creative,and to be social.
在巴别塔的故事中，我们看到人类应用了上帝赋予他们神圣本性的方面，他们的工作能力、创造力和社交能力。
The people at Babel were workers, as the Bible describes God as being a worker, as they worked to build a city and then a tower.We can only imagine what sustained effort that took.
巴别塔的建造者是工人，正如圣经描述，上帝赋予他们一样工作的属性。他们先是建造了一座城，然后又建造了一座塔。我们只能想象他们付出了怎样不懈的努力。
It also took their creativity.Which is another part of the divine nature in them. The creativity is demonstrated in the design of the city, but most importantly, in the tower. Their creativity was also shown in what seems to have been a new innovation, the creation of bricks and the use of tar for mortar.
这也需要他们的创造力，这是上帝赋予他们神圣属性的另一部分。创造力体现在城市的设计上，但最重要的是体现在塔楼上。他们的创造力还体现在一项似乎全新的创造上，就是他们拿石漆当灰泥来制作砖块。
And finally, they demonstrated the socialness of the Godhead that is part of our being.As the building of the city and the tower was a communal effort. Notice the language of the passage. They said to each other, and let us do this together, and so that we may prevent something happening to us.
最后，他们展示了神赋予他们的社会性，这也是我们存有的一部分。因为建造城市和塔楼是一项共同的工作，请注意这段经文的语言。他们彼此商量说：“来吧，让我们一起来做这件事。”这样，我们一起就可以防止某些事情发生在我们的身上。
So the people were using the divine capabilities God had imparted to them as human beings, created in God's image.They were working with purpose. They were being creative. They were being social, communicating with each other and working together.
因此，作为按照上帝形象被创造的人，他们使用上帝赋予他们的神圣的能力。他们有目的的工作，他们富有创造力， 他们具有社会性，他们彼此的沟通并共同的来工作。
The problem was with the fourth dimension of the image of God in them. That is what had happened to their moral reasoning. And demonstrating the problem of what happened with their moral reasoning, and ours, is the main purpose behind this prologue that starts the Bible.
问题出在他们身上，上帝出在他们身上是上帝形象的第四个维度，也就是他们的道德理性，而揭示他们和我们道德推理所出现的问题，正是圣经开篇序言的主要目的。
The last time I was here, I pointed out what the Westminster Confession of Faith says about our moral nature at the creation. The confession says that we humans were created with reasonable and immortal souls, endued with knowledge, righteousness, and true holiness, after His own image, having the law of God written in our hearts, and the power to fulfill it, yet under the possibility of transgressing, being left to the liberty of our own will, which was subject to change.
上次我在这里，我指出威斯敏斯特信条对我们被造时的道德本性的一个论述。威斯敏斯特信条说，我们人类被造时，神赋予他们理性和不朽的灵魂，赐给他们知识、公义和真理的圣洁，并将神的律法写在他们的心上，赋予他们遵行的能力。然而，他们仍然有可能违背这些律法，因为他们的意志是自由的，而且是可以改变的。
But after about mankind after the fall of Adam and Eve, the confession has this to say about us. Adam and Eve being the root of all mankind, the guilt of their sin was imputed, and the same death in sin and corrupted nature conveyed to all their posterity, descending from them by ordinary generation.
但是关于亚当夏娃堕落后的全人类，威斯敏斯特信仰告白这样告诉我们，亚当和夏娃作为全人类的根源，他们的罪孽被归咎于他们，同样因着犯罪而来的死亡和败坏的本性，也通过正常的生育传递给了所有由他们而生的后裔。
Now this corruption in their moral nature, which was passed down from Adam and Eve to us, can be seen in the Tower of Babel story in three ways.
从亚当和夏娃传递给我们道德本性的败坏，在巴别塔的故事中可以从三个方面体现出来。
First, the people of Babel demonstrated their moral corruption in their main stated reason for building the city. They built the city to prevent themselves from being scattered over the face of the whole earth. This was a direct disobedience to God, who told Adam and Noah to multiply and fill up the earth.
首先，巴别塔人在建造这座城市的主要原因中，表明了他们的道德败坏。他们建成是为了防止自己分散在全地上，这直接违背了上帝的旨意。上帝曾吩咐亚当和挪亚要生养众多，遍满全地。
The second way the people of Babel demonstrated their moral corruption was in their pride. They said they were doing this to make a name for themselves. They were going to show God that He could not tell them what to do. They were their own people, and they were proud of themselves. Far from them was the sense of humility before God, who created them and given them the ability to do what they were doing.
巴比人道德败坏的第二个表现是他们的骄傲。他们说，他们这样做是为要传扬我们的名。他们要向上帝表明，上帝不能对他们指手画脚，他们是自己的人民，他们为自己感到骄傲。上帝创造了他们，赋予了他们能力去做他们正在做的事情，而他们在上帝面前却没有谦卑之心。
The third way the people at Babel demonstrated their moral corruption was in the building of the tower. While the text does not specifically say this, scholars say that anyone in the ancient world who heard this account knew that building a tower reaching up to the heavens meant that the humans were trying to build their way up to heaven to the divine beings. They were going to deal with God on their own terms, not God's. This is a version of the sin of Cain, whose offering was not accepted by God.
他们表现出道德败坏的第三个方式，就是要建造高塔。虽然经文中没有具体说明这一点，但学者们说，古代世界中听到这段记载，人们都知道要建造一座通向天堂的高塔，意味着人类正在用自己的方式建造通往天堂、通向神的道路。他们要以自己的方式，而不是用上帝的方式和上帝打交道。这就是与该隐的罪一样的表现。因此，该隐的祭物没有被上帝所悦纳。
These were serious affronts to God. So what did God do? God attacked their ability to be social and cooperate with one another. He confused their language so they could no longer understand each other. God, in essence, attacked the socialness that is part of the divine image in them.
这些都是对上帝严重的冒犯。那么上帝做了什么呢？上帝攻击了他们的社交和相互合作能力，他变乱了他们的语言，使他们无法再相互明白。从本质上说，上帝攻击了他们的社会性，而社会性正是他们身上上帝形象的一部分。
The result of this confusion of language is that the people were forced to separate and spread out and to fill up the earth, to spread out over the face of the earth, which is what God had wanted them to do anyway.
变乱语言的结果是人们被分开并分散出去并遍满地面。那么分散出去遍满地面，这正是上帝希望他们要做的事情。
This confusion of the language was the third major curse of God on mankind in the Bible's prologue. It is a curse that continues to this day, which is why Heng Jiang is translating into Mandarin what I am saying in English.
编烂语言的圣经序言中，上帝对人类的这三个咒诅，重大的第三个咒诅，这一个咒诅一直持续到今天。这也是为什么我现在用英文讲道，曾将把它翻译成中文的原因。
When we realize this is the third curse on humanity, one wonders what is going to become of God's plan to create a people for himself. With the people of Babel spreading out, their ability to communicate with one another fractured, one gets the sense that God's plan had finally and firmly run aground. At a minimum, this looks like a very bad start to that plan.
当我们意识到这是对人类的第三个咒诅时，人们不仅会想，上帝为自己创造子民的计划会变成什么样呢？ 随着巴别塔的人们四散开来，彼此沟通的能力破坏，人会感觉到上帝的计划最终被彻底搁浅了。至少这个计划看起来是一个非常糟糕的开始。
And this prologue, with its three curses on mankind, points out the main problem that God is going to have to address, which is the corruption in our moral nature.
而这个序言通过对人类的三个咒诅，指出了上帝必须解决的主要问题，那就是我们道德本性的败坏。
Now we need to examine ourselves here. Don't we directly disobey God as the people at Babel did? Aren't we also proud and want to make a name for ourselves while minimizing the glory of God's name? And don't we want to reach up to heaven and try to deal with God on our own terms and not His?
我们在这里需要自我反省，我们是不是像巴别的人一样直接违背了上帝的命令？我们是不是骄傲，为要传扬自己的名而贬低上帝圣灵的荣耀呢？我们是不是也想靠自己攀登天国，想按照我们自己的方式和上帝打交道，而不是按照上帝的方式呢？
But despite the debacle at Babel and what it says about the human race, God is not finished with us yet. And what happens next in the Bible story is really the beginning of God's answer of how He is going to make a people for Himself. But that will have to wait until I come back next time.
但是，尽管巴别塔的灾难以及他对人类表明的，上帝还没有放弃我们。圣经故事接下来发生的事情，实际是上帝回答他将如何为自己创造一个子民的开始。但那必须等到我下次来到这里的时候再讲。
But I will leave you with a hopeful hint that God does have a plan, and that plan comes to fruition.Thousands of years after the Tower of Babel episode, some disciples of this famous teacher and miracle worker named Jesus of Nazareth are hiding in a room on the feast day that happens 50 days after Passover.
但我要给你们一个充满希望的暗示，上帝确实有一个计划，而且这个计划会实现。巴别塔事件发生数千年后，这位著名的教师和施行神迹者名叫拿撒勒的耶稣，他的一些门徒们在逾越节后的50天的节日里正躲在一个房间里。
And suddenly there is a strong wind and tongues of flames descend on themAnd they burst out of the room and start telling the people of Jerusalem that this Jesus, whom they had crucified, had risen from the dead, and that forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit was found through belief in Jesus, whom God had shown to be their Messiah.
突然，一阵大风吹过，舌头如火焰降在他们身上，他们就冲出房间，开始告诉耶路撒冷的人民。这位曾被他们钉在十字架上的耶稣已经从死里复活了。记着信号，这位上帝已经给他们显明了的弥赛亚耶稣，叫他们的罪得赦免，他们就必领受所赐的圣灵。
And what was most amazing is that everyone who was in Jerusalem from all the parts of the known worldheard the disciples of Jesus proclaiming the truths in their own native tongues. For a brief time, the curse of Babel had been miraculously reversed.
最令人惊奇的是， 从世界各地来到耶路撒冷的每个人都听到了耶稣的门徒们使用他们自己的母语向他们宣告这些真理。在短短的时间里，巴别塔的咒诅被奇迹般的逆转了。
But the full reversal of the curse of Babel will occur when the Son of God comes again on the last day.
当上帝之子末日再次降临的时候，巴别塔的咒诅将会完全的逆转。
Let us pray.
让我们来祷告。
Lord, this story of Babel is a sad commentary on us and our race. We thank you that you are a gracious and merciful God, however, who does not deal with us as our sins demand. But through your Son, Jesus Christ, you give us forgiveness of sins, in whose name we pray. Amen.
主啊，巴别塔的故事是对我们和我们人类悲伤的评论。我们感谢你，你是一位恩慈怜悯的上帝，你不会按照我们的罪孽来要求待我们，反而借着你儿子耶稣基督赦免了我们一切的罪孽。我们奉主耶稣基督的名祷告，阿门。